Hey guys, what's up? This is Section 119. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Jaden Johnson.
I'm Daniel Hansen.
And I'm Trevor Porath.
In this podcast, we dedicate one shorter podcast every week to talk about the other sports that are going on. Typically, you know, we have one dedicated to Aggie sports and one to football. And once the NBA gets here, we'll talk a little, probably have another podcast for that. But right now, with the baseball playoffs going on, in full swing, you know, we're getting real close to the World Series here, and with the final stretch of the MLS season coming up, and we're going to talk about Real Salt Lake's playoff picture there as well. So again, thanks for tuning in. First thing we got on the agenda is MLB. So I'm a guy who doesn't know a ton about baseball, so I'll leave most of this to you guys, but should the Cubs be worried?
I think yes, and because I'm even a Cubs fan. It's, you know, they're down 2-1 right now. The last two games they've only had 5 hits, only one hit that was a double or triple, so one double, and then 4 singles. It was like in the 7th inning, their batting average was 74, so .074. So they haven't had a bat right now, and so it's their offense has suddenly just gone up and walked away, and the Dodgers have found their bats, and so it's gonna be kind of hard for them to get those runs to win.
As far as the relevancy of this podcast goes, I should note if you hadn't picked it up, this is being recorded on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so the series right now stands at 2-1. Cubs are obviously down. Obviously, they should be worried because they're down 2-1. If they don't pick it up, obviously they could be out in 2 games. I'm kind of thinking about it. I mean, it looks bad right now, but if I'm the Cubs, I'm not like pushing the red button, like everything is sinking button. They're only down 2-1. They still have at least 2 games left. They only need to win one of these 2 games in Los Angeles, and the series is guaranteed to be back at Wrigley Field.
Is that do they do a 2-3-2?
Yes.
As far as home, away, home?
Yeah. Okay. At least during the CS, I'm not sure if the World Series is different. But, I mean, this Cubs team has been great all year. I mean, they had a spot there, like, right after the All-Star break where they kind of went back down a little bit. But for the most part, this team's been terrific. And it's hard to see them just being quieted for 5 straight games, including, or 8 if you include the NLDS against the Giants. So while I'm worried, I'm not exactly going to be pulling down the fire alarms or anything if I'm the Cubs. I'm going to come back out into game 4 here and just give it a good hard try. I mean, that's all we can really do in baseball.
Yeah, it seems like this next one's going to be huge for them, because if they're to go down 3-1 and then have to pull off another one on the road and then a couple at home, that might be tough.
Plus, you look at it, game 5... the Dodgers are a little bit kind of, they're saying, I think right now, Kent Maeda or Julio Urias, I think, would be starting it. But there is a very real possibility if the Dodgers are up 3-1 that they'd bring Clayton Kershaw on short rest for game 5. So, I mean, game 4 here really is going to be a massive game for the Cubs if they want to not have to be up against a wall and face Kershaw in game 5.
I'll be watching that one for sure, no doubt. Okay, so looking at, I don't know if you guys ever visit 538. It's Nate Silver's website. They got all kinds of odds and predictions, and
it's the nerdy sports.
Sports site. And politics. They just dive real deep into numbers. So their predictions, and I'll give it to them. They're usually pretty accurate with their picks. They've got the Indians with a 36% chance to win the World Series, the Dodgers with a 33% chance, the Cubs with a 25% chance, and the Blue Jays with a 6% chance. So, I mean, right now, looking at it, the Indians have to be the favorite, being up 3 games to 1, and just looking like an all-around very good team. Is this are we going to have a double Cleveland year?
It's hard to say no right now. They've looked really good. Andrew Miller, honestly, should be the playoff MVP for the Indians if they do win it, because he's been absolutely phenomenal for them. But, like, if you're just asking if they're the favorite, I mean, they have to be. They're up 3-1 in the LCS. Their pitching has been good. Their hitting has been timely.
Are they your favorite? Do you
are they like, my favorite? Oh, heck no. I don't like them, so I'm not going to say
that. Way. I'm saying, like, if you had to pick the World Series right now, do you think they win it?
Again, it's hard for me because I'm biased because I just, for some reason, really do not like any team from Cleveland. And I seriously don't really know why. It's not that they just beat the Red Sox.
Poor Browns.
I just don't like any Cleveland team except the Browns because they're a three-legged puppy. But
I hate three-legged puppies.
You are not an American,
sir. They're not nearly as fun as four-legged ones.
Okay, that is true, but it's a three-legged puppy. It's so cute. But just by like looking at it, you can almost have to say, like, yeah, they're the favorite. They've been playing the best. They're now 6-1 in the postseason. So
what do you think, Trevor? Is this Cleveland's to lose?
I think so, too. I believe that it's Cleveland's to lose because they've been shutting down the number one and number two other teams that have really been have a hot bat during the season. Toronto's had a hot bat all season. Red Sox have had a hot bat all season, and they just took them down. They swept the Red Sox, and they started up 3-0 on Blue Jays. So I think it is right now it's theirs to lose.
I like that. You know, I just looking from a storyline perspective as a casual fan, I'd love to see Cleveland versus the Cubs in the World Series. And it's possible. We'll see. Okay, so another league that we got right now in just full swing in pretty much playoff mode with one game left in the season for every team is the MLS. Real Salt Lake's right in the heat of that race. So, I mean, are they contenders? What do you think, Trevor? I mean, you're a season ticket holder. You're always at those games.
Well, it's like RSL is just a hard team to really analyze. They can go in and they can beat FC Dallas, the number, you know, that's been on top of the league all year, you know, running for the supporter shield. One week, and then the next week they go and lose to the Western bottom feeders, Houston Dynamos. They're
super up and down.
They're up and down. It's just hard to tell with them. And so if we get the FC Dallas beating RSL team in there, we have a shot. But if we get the one that's losing to, you know, San Jose and Houston Dynamo and, you know, the pretty much the crappy teams of the West, then they don't have a shot. It's whichever team comes.
Yeah, I found – so there's a really cool chart that was put together on the MLS soccer website. It just kind of maps out every playoff scenario for Real Salt Lake and what could happen. So pretty much it shows 27 scenarios, and there's one of the 27 scenarios that have RSL not making the playoffs. That is if Real Salt Lake loses this week and then Seattle wins and Sporting Kansas City win. Well, that would keep – or I'm sorry, if Sporting Kansas City and Portland win, that would keep Real Salt Lake out of the playoffs. However, the 26 of the 27 scenarios still have them in, vying for a fourth, fifth, or sixth seed. Pretty much, I mean, at this point, Real pretty well controls their destiny. If they win this game on Sunday, they're guaranteed a fourth seed. If they are to draw, they're pretty well guaranteed a fifth seed. However, it is possible that they could get a fourth or still – actually, I don't think possible they could get a sixth. I guess it is possible they could get a sixth in that scenario. If they lose, they're most likely looking at a sixth.
So we're saying if RSL loses, Sporting Kansas City and Portland would have to win? Or would you say Seattle?
For them to be out, Sporting Kansas City and Portland would each have to win.
I think you're
supposed to say Seattle. Because Seattle plays Portland.
Well, Seattle plays – all right, RSL plays Seattle.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right, yeah.
And so – and Portland's playing Vancouver, which is above Houston, so they're second worst in the West.
So it's pretty likely that Portland does win. And Sporting Kansas City, who do they have?
Let's see – Sporting Kansas City has San Jose State, which
San
is
Jose State?
Just above Vancouver. So
San Jose State be an easy win, I think.
San Jose, the Earthquakes, you know.
Hey, man, Utah State beat them.
But, you know, so they have San Jose, which is just above Vancouver. So we have RSL does have the hardest game out of those three.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we got to win.
We at least need. We at least
or
need
at least
draw.
Draw. You know,
we need.
And
we
if
need
either
a
of those, and if either of those teams draw, that helps us as well. Those teams losing would be a lot better. But you know what? When you're in a situation where you got to depend on other teams drawing or losing, just win, man. Just win. You know, it's not going to be an easy one for them playing with Seattle. Seattle's not a bad team. But man, just go in and win, and at very, very least draw. If they lose, they might be eliminated. They might just have the last seed. You don't want either of those.
And so. Out of those three, out of those three teams for the the Sporting Kansas City and San Jose, and the Real Salt Lake, the only team that isn't home, so had to have the home field advantage is Sporting Kansas City. You know, so because they're actually so Portland is on the road, so that's sure. A little boost there too.
Sure. What is nice is that they've lined themselves up in a way with past victories where they own a lot of tiebreakers, so the scenarios do bounce their way a lot. And you know, it's pretty nice to be able to control your own fate, not have to be hoping and praying for other teams to do certain things. What's kind of cool, I think, in the MLS is every single game this Sunday. Every team is playing a game, and all of them start at what is it? I think it's 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. I think it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so there's no overlap. You know, all the games are 90 minutes long, given there's a few minutes of stoppage time difference. So they're all starting and they're all pretty much ending at the same time, which is a nightmare for sports writers having to figure out all the scenarios and put out a story. I don't envy a soccer sports writer, but. It's a lot of fun for fans, man. Keep your eyes on several different tabs at a time because there's going to be some movement.
Yeah. MLS stole some plays over there from the English Premier League. They do that on it. They call it Championship Sunday, where everybody plays at the same time.
It's brilliant. I love it.
It makes it entertaining to watch.
But for a fan, I mean, at the same time, for a fan, you can't watch multiple games and
multiple TVs. Go to Buffalo Wild Wings, people.
Multiple eyes.
But here's the question, and I understand this is going to be a little bit difficult, I guess, to determine, given RSL has been kind of up and down for some parts of the season. But when they get in the playoffs, I mean, it's not guaranteed, but it looks pretty good. What do you guys think their chances are in the playoffs, like for the first round and maybe also to go to the MLS Cup? Like, does it kind of depend more on who they're playing or –
You know, the West is really strong. I think a lot of it does depend on who they play. I think that they'd have a hard time getting past FC Dallas or Colorado in the West. I'd say a first-round win is pretty likely, certainly possible. Maybe getting past one of those teams, possible or likely. I don't see them, like, just going on a tear and ripping through the playoffs and being able to win as many games in a row as they need to against top ranked teams, just as inconsistent as they've been.
Well, you got to put this way too. The first game of the playoffs is a one and done, and then the next round is a home and home.
Sure.
Which is with aggregate scoring, and so that could
play in their favor.
Could go good or bad, because like last year we had the LA Galaxy here at Rio Tinto for first set, and it was a 0-0 draw, and then we go to LA and get slaughtered 4-0.
Right.
And so it's
right,
you never know how that's gonna go.
Yeah, man, I guess just soccer is like such an unpredictable sport. I think usually the best team wins, but not always, and so you never know. Like, and then you figure in draws in there as well, and just so many, and penalty kicks and so many different things that can happen, especially in a playoff scenario. That's why soccer is like, that's part of the reason it's so fun, but it's like part of the reason it's so frustrating to be a fan of, because like sometimes you could just dominate a team the entire game and then 87th minute they kick in a goal and that's that.
Hey, quit talking about the San Diego State and Aggie game there.
That was tough.
I will say, at least RSL, I'm not too familiar with a lot of the stuff going on there, but I do know Nick Raimondo is one of the better goalkeepers in the RSL. And playoff goal soccer, whether it's MLS or Champions League or Premier League or whatever it is, a good goalkeeper can keep you in any game and make it so that you frustrate the other team by getting
that's
that
why the worst teams win a lot of the times is because of their goalie, you know?
that'd be my only hope for RSL, I think, in the playoffs, is if Raimondo gets on a good hot streak coming in, then who knows what happens. But
it has a lot to do with the defense as well.
You also got to put this in there. There's there's a big shot that Yiro Musician will not be playing this Sunday.
And he's been kind of hobbled.
So
they need him, but, you know, next man up. Next man up. So, I'll be watching that. I'll probably have afternoon NFL games up on one screen and have some RSL on the other screen, and it'll be a good Sunday, man. Hopefully. I mean, as long as we win. Every team I cheer for loses, though, so I'm sorry.
So you should cheer for the other team.
Yeah. Maybe that's just in football.
Oh, hey, this is football.
Yeah. Dang it. You're right. Dang Euros. Okay, so something new that Trevor came up with, kind of a cool segment that we'd like to start doing here every week, probably during this multi-sport podcast, is called the Stat of the Week, where we're each going to come up with a different stat of the week, just something, whether it's intriguing, whether it's like
funny,
random.
Pretty much what the title says is what we're going to do. Each of us will just have a stat. And we'll give it to you.
So, Trevor, I know you got one prepared for us. What do you got?
Yeah, what I was going to bring up is Andrew Miller from the Indians, a relief pitcher, has threw 20 strikeouts in 9 innings pitched through the postseason so far. That is the most strikeouts for 27 outs.
20 strikeouts
in postseason.
20 strikeouts is like the record for a single game ever, even in the regular season. So
it's a lot of strikeouts, man.
That's it, you know, and then like depending on their stat of the week, I might double dip. But
that explains a lot of their success right now,
especially because they use him whenever. Yeah,
efficient pitching like that.
Fifth inning through the ninth inning, you're liable to face Andrew Miller, and when you face Andrew Miller, you're kind of screwed.
Yep,
my Red Sox know that firsthand.
Daniel, you got a stat for us?
Yes, I'm actually going to go to the world of college football here. Alabama's defense and special teams this year is really good. They've scored in 7 games, they've scored 11 touchdowns in 7 games. To put that a little bit in perspective, South Carolina and Stanford both have, oh wait, no, Stanford has 9 PATs that they've made, sorry. But South Carolina only has 9 touchdowns on the year offensively. So Alabama's defense and special teams alone is better than South Carolina's offense.
Wow.
Do they have
that is interesting.
NCAA fantasy football leagues and Alabama?
If they did, they do. I would select Alabama like first.
I've never played it, but they do. Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course they'd be the first round pick. All right, my stat is pretty interesting to me. The last NFL team that started 1-5 in the regular season and then went on to make the playoffs was last year's Kansas City Chiefs. The team that did it after that was the 2016 Carolina Panthers.
Did you not say to not write off the Panthers in our other podcast?
What am I saying right now? Same thing.
Well, no.
Don't write off the Panthers.
You said, like, in the other one, we were talking about what team not to write off.
I was talking about other teams, too. There's other teams you shouldn't write off, but... you know, I'm not serious about this. The Panthers aren't making the playoffs, but I gotta have optimism. I gotta have something to look forward to. If you're a Panthers fan, take a little bit of solace in the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs were 1-5 last year and they still made the playoffs.
That also can apply to Jets fans, 49ers fans, and Bears fans. But good luck on having that.
Yeah,
come
but those
true.
Teams suck.
On that note,
I know I
hate to break it to you, Jaden, but
I know I'm not gonna argue.
So yeah, well, on that note, I'm gonna double dip here. Last Wednesday, NHL started, so I'm gonna give a shout out to Austin Matthews for scoring 4 goals on his debut, on his NHL debut.
Insane.
4 goals,
insane.
We had a hat trick by the middle of the second period.
And this is hockey, where most games end 1-0.
Not most.
Quite a few. To get 4 goals,
it's huge.
Well, on your debut, as a rookie, getting 4
goals.
Think
of all the nerves that you've got, and you're going up against bigger, faster, stronger guys than you've ever seen before in your life, and you do that. Cool. Good for him, man.
So let's shout out to Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews.
This is the Other Sports Podcast. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Again, we got other episodes up this week. Aggie Football Podcast. Well, Aggie Sports Podcast, I'm sorry. Talk everything Aggie Sports. We got a National Football Podcast, talk college and NFL. And later this week, probably on Saturday, we'll have up a NBA preview. So thanks for tuning in. Find us on Twitter at 119 Sports. And we hope that you enjoyed it and you come back in the future to listen to more. Bye-bye.